France has accused the Morrison government of duplicity and lies over its decision to scrap a $90 billion submarine deal with France in favour of a new alliance with the US and the UK that brings with it nuclear submarines. French ambassadors in Canberra and Washington have now been recalled to Paris, while Emmanuel Macron and the US President Joe Biden will discuss the crisis in a phone call in coming days. But Prime Minister Scott Morrison says his government is acting in the national interest, and he said France knew of Australia's concerns.
Well, no, I think that they would have had every reason to know that we have deep and grave concerns that the capability being delivered by the attack class submarine was not going to meet our strategic interests, and we had made very clear that we would be making a decision based on our strategic national interest.
That's the Prime Minister yesterday. Well, French Ambassador to Australia Jean-Pierre Thibault is now back in the French capital, where he joins us now. Ambassador, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran, and very happy to be with you and with millions of Aussie people who are listening to you faithfully every day.
Well, we appreciate your time. Ambassador, your government has described this crisis as a, quote, major rupture of confidence. The recalling of ambassadors is usually reserved for hostile nations. How major a rift is this between the two countries?
It's a deep rift caused by attitudes which we discovered afterwards. There were a lack of confidence, double language. Read the Australian press. There stands all the details of the facts that this was a plot in the making. It's 18 months. And at the same time where we were engaged in making the best of this program, where France committed its most, you know, well-kept military secret, we were committed to transmit it to Australia to help build a sovereign industry in Australia, to create a partnership and an alliance for 50 years. At the same time, in the making, there was a complete other project that we discovered, thanks to the press, 1 hour before announcement.
So you can imagine
our anger. We felt fooled, and we had also the impression that everything that happened during those 18 months were aimed at justifying something which today is being announced.
So you're saying that while France was sharing well-kept military secrets, Australia was keeping secrets from you. But just on the timing of this, France says it was blindsided by this decision. The French newspaper Libération says Paris learned of the new alliance and the deal during the press conference, the televised press conference. Our Prime Minister says calls were made to the French government in the hours before. What's your understanding? When did Australia officially inform the French government?
We were not speaking about potatoes and tomatoes. We are speaking about a project that was carefully designed on the request of Australia, a conventional propulsion especially, and that was, you know, committing us to transmit secret know-how and secret industrial and military secrets to build a sovereign capacity here in Australia. We committed that there would be 60%, you know, and this was a contract that was signed about that, 60% of an Australian industrial content. We made all the efforts to be on time and on budget, especially and during this COVID period. And we got praise for that, including public praise for having achieved such a thing. And at the end of the day, the question seems to be only, did we get a call 1 hour or 4 hours before the announcement? No. When you are partners, when you are trusted partners, you don't behave like that. It's a question of principle. It's a question of dignity and mutual respect in relations between states.
You heard the Prime Minister there in that little clip we played. He said that France had every reason to know of Australia's deep and grave concerns and ongoing concerns about this deal meeting Australia's strategic needs. Should France have seen this coming?
There have always been discussions about, you know, the program, how it addresses the needs of Australia, and it was the exchanges on those subjects that kept us busy until the last minute. But in no way it was said to us that this could lead to an alternative program. And this should have been normally the case between trusted allies. You know, everything was possible. Every discussion was possible. You know, by the way, what does justify that if the possibility of a nuclear submarine for Australia was not discussed with France? We are the only, you know, sovereign country who has a sovereign industry in nuclear submarines outside, in the Western world, outside of the US. Even our British friends are not sovereign in this respect. They depend on US technologies and licenses. So, you know, why not discuss it with us? And we know how to keep secrets. But, you know, having an attitude where we discover through press that the most important person of this Australian government kept us in the dark intentionally until the last minute, not being willing and not, you know, making us at least the decency to have a conversation about what should be the alternative. No, that's not, I would say, because this is a comment I got from social networks, from friends from Australia. This is not an Australian attitude towards France. And maybe we were not friends, but then you can understand our reactions.
Just, I'll come to the maybe we're not friends, but just, I mean, the Prime Minister and French President Emmanuel Macron had dinner together just in June. You were attended a meeting between the two in June. Did the Australian Prime Minister raise any concerns over the submarine deal then? Was there any hint that it was not satisfactory and it could be torn up?
Torn up? At all. The fact that there were questions about, you know, certain number of questions that were later addressed, yes, always. But that is, it is normal and customary among partner and allies. The fact that it was signaled that this would lead to the cancellation of the program and that there would be an alternative program, never. But at the same time, let's be frank, Australia has every right to make sovereign decisions concerning its defense. The question is not there. Nobody challenged that, and not France in particular. But the way you discuss with your friends, your way you are, you know, being able to discuss serious matters between two countries, two other countries, two countries sharing the same values on honesty, transparency, you know, it was really stunning the way it was done. And once again, you know, I just read the Australian press. This was in the making for 18 months. Mm. And we have the impression that we were on the back burner, you know, just in case this new deal wouldn't be able to be made. So, you know, where is sincerity there? Where is the normal behavior between two countries which have so much in common throughout history and we're planning to do so much for the future?
You mentioned earlier that, you know, you'd made all the efforts during the pandemic to be on time and on budget. The original deal with the Naval Group was meant to cost between 40 to 50 billion. That blew out to 90 billion. There were growing concerns about delays, that the submarines could be obsolete before they became operational.
We are speaking about now about apples in one case and tomatoes in the other. 50 billion was the original price at the date. 90 billion is the assessment by the Commonwealth of, in terms of, you know, dollars throughout the life of the program. So it is not the same, it is the same figure, but calculated in a different way. And that's it.
Does Australia's
Concerning the delays, they are very, you know, fundamentally, Fran.
Yeah.
The delays can be explained. And at each and every stage, those delays or eventually increase of price were discussed because it was requirements made by the Commonwealth.
But Ambassador, can Australia's change of mind be explained by the changing strategic situation in the Indo-Pacific, the growing power of China?
Absolutely, friend. I said it to you, you know, this is not challenged. This is, you know, a country has a sovereign responsibility towards its people. But it is also a country which has allies and friends. And it discusses with its allies and its friends in an open, direct, and transparent way. Do you, do, You see the irony of the situation? We are discussing whether President Macron was informed 1 hour or 5 hours before the final announcement. You know, is it a way to proceed among countries who share the same values and are supposed, you know, to have each other's back?
Okay.
No,
Ambassador, if we look at the future...
And concerning program, you know, I know there is a smear campaign, and by the way, it's very strange, but maybe now we understand why, has been a smear campaign very, very active since 18 months against this program. I've not seen such a smear campaign being run against other programs that are currently run in Australia and which are hugely over budget and hugely over time.
Okay. Can I just ask you about...
Maybe because one is British and the other is American, but, you know...
Can I ask you about the future? Because it's not the only deal Australia is making with Europe. There are plans to have a free trade agreement with the EU. Will France now be lobbying Europe? It's reported France is lobbying Europe to not go ahead and sign a free trade agreement with Australia.
No, we are not lobbying Europe for doing this. You know, the negotiations, you know, we played a major role in making those negotiations start. It was decided in 2018. And, you know, these negotiations are now in the hands of the EU Commission, which is running the commercial policy, trade policy of Europe in the name of the states. Obviously, at regular moments, the states are called, you know, for assessments of where negotiations are. But, you know, at this stage, negotiations do continue. And it is a strong interest, I recognize, for Australia to have a free trade agreement with EU. By you know, it is not comparable with the one that has been made with the UK. This is a small one with the UK. With the EU, it has the potential to deliver a huge amount of benefits for Australia. EU is the largest single wealthiest market that where Australia currently is not present at the level where it could be present. So, yes, I recognize Australia should have all reasons to be very much willing to strike an agreement with the EU.
Ambassador, thank you very much for joining us.
No, thank you to you, Fran. It's a pleasure. And anytime, I am ready to answer your questions and through you, the questions of Australians, because I think this is what matters, you know, being able to speak, being able to explain, being able to behave like mates, which we were supposed to be before.
Ambassador, we look forward to speaking to you again then. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you to you, friend. It's always a pleasure.
French Ambassador Jean-Pierre Thibault.